Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Lisa Gore, who is the newly elected chairwoman of the Council Shinnecock Indian Nation, which is located in Shinnecock, oddly enough, next to the Shinnecock Golf Club. How many acres is it up there?
We have about 800 acres on territory on the reservation.
And the reservation fronts on the bay, and sometimes the residents are out fishing or clamming, and been there since before anybody else, as far as we know.
Yes.
What's so extraordinary about it right now is that when I first got here, which was a long time ago, in the 50s, early 60s, not only were the council operating in complete secrecy, but there had never been a woman on the council, and there had never been a woman who was even allowed to vote or know what was going on with the council. I remember back then, there were keep out signs at the entrances to the Shinnecock Reservation. I started running the newspaper then, and there was just silence coming from there. And whatever was going on in there, that was not my business, or anybody else's for that matter.
Well, we still have the private property signs posted at each entrance to the reservation. So those are still posted, and the trustees, prior to 2013, it was a three-man trusteeship. So a lot of our matters that they were handling were being done internally. Yep. So not that it was done secretively, but a lot of our matters had to do with, you know, inside territory.
Well, now the tribe is recognized by the Indian Affairs and is thriving. And lo and behold, you're assuming the reins, I guess, is one way to phrase it.
Yes.
How many people are trustees now in that group?
We have a seven-member council.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you've been living on the reservation since you were young.
Well, I was born right here in Southampton Hospital, grew up on the reservation till I was about 10, 11 years old. And then I moved to Riverhead with my mother, who had recently remarried. So we moved to Riverhead. My mom started working for the county courts. So I graduated from Riverhead High School, went to Suffolk Community College, got married. Me and my husband moved back to the reservation, built our home, and began our family. And I've been on the reservation, back on the reservation since 1990.
One of the things that it occurs to me to point out was, especially back then in the early era, homes and other buildings were built on the property without regard to any of the town regulations, and I suppose they still could be. There would be walls with no windows. There's some of them that still remain. Of course, now it's not like that at all. But what are some of the activities that are going on there now besides the annual Shinnecock Labor Day event?
Yes, our annual Labor Day powwow. Yes, we still do have that. We also have activities in the reservation, some which are just for our members only. We have a midwinter social powwow that usually takes place in February. That's usually, you know, like I said, just for, you know, members, just for us to get together socially during the winter. This past Sunday, we had June Sunday that usually takes place the first Sunday in June. That's another social gathering that we have in the community. We have our Nunawa Feast, which is our annual Thanksgiving feast that we do as a tribal community that takes place the week before the traditional Thanksgiving that, you know, everyone celebrates. So those are some of the things that we enjoy other than the annual powwow.
What are some of the activities and the issues that the tribe faces at this particular time that you see?
Well, one thing right now, as you may know, we're in the process of building the gas station in Hampton Bays, the Travel Plaza. What we would like to do is put an off-ramp right off of Sunrise Highway. But of course, because of the legalities that we currently have ongoing with the New York State Department of Transportation, we are unable to, you know, have any, you know, discussions or talks with the Department of Transportation regarding an off-ramp until, you know, those legal issues are settled regarding the monuments.
Talk about the monuments. They were erected with great pride, and I think people were fearful of them because of their size and what are they doing now and, you know, all that stuff.
But
I think
they're standing beautifully. No issues, no accidents. They're standing beautifully.
They are. And I know, I remember during the time they were being built, I stopped by and people were bringing in food and having building little campfires around it.
For yes, them. Yes.
And it's now part of that part of it is part of the community. There's, for many, many years, the tribe seemed bent on starting a casino. Back when Lance Gumbs was on the tribal council, and he really broke through a lot of the misunderstandings about things with the rest of the community at that time. And
right.
now it's much more of a working together kind of thing. And
yes, he's still on council as well. He's the vice chairman. He was elected this year as well. Yes.
Is he still the representative for the tribe when nationally? I know he did that work for a long time.
Yes. Yes, he still is. Yep.
So he travels quite a bit, I think.
Yes. He's actually away this week at one of their conferences.
So what's happening as far as the casino, or is that still on the table? Is that something you still want to do? The tribe still want to do?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we don't want to do it. It's not anything that's in the works right now, but we certainly have not taken it off the table.
What other facilities are now on the tribal grounds in terms of education, medicine, that were never there years ago before recognition came that are new?
Winichinup Shinnecock Preschool, which houses our infants through age 5. That's an education program, a school that we have there. And we also have the Boys and Girls Club. We have our own charter of the Boys and Girls Club, Shinnecock Boys and Girls Club, right on the reservation, that offers educational programs, health programs for the children right there on the reservation. So I believe that was just established probably within the last 2 years.
Before that, there had been, I think it was clamming, or there were some, and there weren't there some medical facilities? Are they still there?
We have the health center. Yes, we do have the health center on the reservation. I believe the health center was established back in the early 1990s, 1994, maybe 93.
And is the museum open this year? There was a gift, I believe, from a tribe in Connecticut when that was built.
Right. The museum is currently not open at this time. It does need to go. It needs to undergo some renovations before we can open again. So we are looking to, you know, get that back up and running in the near future.
How long is your term as chairwoman?
So actually, I ran for the 1 year term. Former chairman Polite, he stepped down midway through his term. So the terms for trustee it's a 2 year term. However, Brian announced that he would be stepping down midway through his term. So I sought to run for his seat. So I'm filling the remaining 1 year of his term.
Are you going to continue to run for that office again?
I certainly hope so.
How many people are in residence and also considered Shinnecocks who are able to vote?
Well, we have a total of 1,600 tribal members that are on and off territory, and just on the reservation, it's about 800. So you have to be actually have lived on the reservation for 6 months prior to the election date in order to vote in the tribal council elections.
Now, members of the tribe are a separate nation, but they also have dual they also are part of the United States in terms of travel and having passports and and that kind of thing. So that's not so unusual when you think about it. A lot of people are like that. What are the requirements to enable yourself to become a tribal member? Presume.
Well, you have to prove your lineage, and we are a matriarchal society, so you have to be able to prove your lineage through your mother, your grandmother, your great grandmother, and so forth.
It's an exciting time, I think, to be a part of things. Is there anything else you'd like to mention as we go forward?
Well, I would just like to mention that it took Shinnecock over 200 years to actually vote in a woman chairperson. We were actually prior to the settlers, back in 1792 is actually when we were forced to go to the trusteeship so that we would be able to communicate with New York State. So prior to that, it was a woman that was actually the head of the tribe. So that was back in 1792. So fast forward 238 years later, here we are.
And is there an office as well? I know that there's a lot of retail business where the reservation meets Hill Street. For a period of, I guess, about a mile or more. Is there anything new that's opening up? I know one of the wonderful things that has been open in prior summers, I presume it will be again, is this lobster dinner restaurant.
Oh, the Lobster Factory. Yes, the Lobster Factory. That's actually owned by Vice Chair Gums. Yes, that is open. And in November of 2023, we did open the Little Beach Harvest Cannabis Dispensary. So that is also, that's located right on Montauk Highway.
Yep. Years ago, the income was largely from the sale of cigarettes during the period when cigarettes did not cause cancer. I guess that's not a fair way to describe that, but nevertheless. And the reason was because there wouldn't be the taxes that were put on it from the United States, because it's a separate country, I guess, in that regard. Anything else you want to mention and talk about?
I don't think so. You know, I would just like to, you know, for our annual Labor Day powwow, for, you know, anyone that wants to come out and, you know, partake in our tradition and culture this year to come on out and do so. We'd love to have you.
The powwow lasts several days, doesn't it?
Several days. Yes, it's actually a 4-day event. It starts that Friday before Labor Day and runs through that Monday.
And some of the tribes come from hundreds of miles away. Do they encamp on the property during the time that?
They do, yes. Our powwow is one of the largest powwows on the East Coast. So we have a lot of tribes that travel far to come participate in our powwow. And yes, we do have areas where they can set up their camper or their tents.
Last thing I wanted to mention to you is I came upon historical writings of an Indian preacher who learned English. I think he was up in Connecticut, who wrote about some of the traditions that the tribes were going through at the time, which in many ways in his writing were strikingly similar to the things that the English settlers were doing, I thought. Some of them were different, but a lot of them were the same, things like mourning and stuff like that. I wrote about it, but I thought I'd like to send it to you to have a look at it to see if it would be something.
Certainly, I'd love to.
I'll send it off to you, and then we could talk some more. And I guess I want to thank you for being on the podcast, and I want to wish the tribe all the luck in the world. Please say hello to Lance for me, because
I will.
When he was a teenager, he worked delivering dance papers, and he and I have had a friendship ever since as a result.
That's nice. I will definitely tell him that you said hello.
Okay. Thanks very much. And I'll talk to you.
Thank you for having me, Dan. My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.